an African-American pastor, an African-American man from Chicago, a Bears fan. We got a couple other Bears fans in here. A Bears fan come to Wisconsin to lead 110 churches who are majority of white people who are cheeseheads and Packer fans. That just doesn't make sense. In the real world, why would he do it? Well, because this man loves Jesus. And Jesus is colorblind. And so is Dr. Perry. Yeah. So I would like you guys to give a hand and to welcome Dr. Perry and Mrs. Perry today.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Scott. I've never been introduced like that before. To be honest with you, reminded me of that man who was being eulogized. I am praising the Lord that I'm completing my ninth year of dealing with cancer. And so I praise the Lord that he allowed me to be sustained, but I didn't know if Pastor Scott was preparing for my funeral. This particular funeral, the wife of the husband and two boys were sitting in the front seat. And the pastor kept going on about how great of a man he was and how wonderful of a man he was and how tremendous of a man he was and how stupendous of a man he was. And the wife leaned over to her sons and said, "Boys, you better go on over there and make sure that's your daddy." Pastor Scott, you're very kind, but my real claim to fame is I've been dating the same girl now for going on 40 years. That's my real claim to fame. We were married for 36 years in May, and that's my real claim to fame. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Well, we're honored to be here with you on this dedication Sunday. As I was praying and asking the Lord, what would he have me to share real briefly? And you all are going to get an abbreviated sermon. As a matter of fact, some of you have heard me preach before. This is going to be the shortest sermon that you've ever heard this black preacher preach. For a couple of reasons. It's your dedication Sunday. And then secondly, we've got all this snow out here. And then thirdly, there's a little thing called the Super Bowl going on. I'm sure some of you all are going to be celebrating Russell Wilson winning again. That was weak, y'all.
We're not over it yet, sir.
As I thought about what the Lord would have me share this morning very briefly about a church dedication, which is a very, very important milestone in the life of any church, God gave me a message that I hope is encouraging to you, but also that you understand should not be offensive to you. Because the title of my message is what good is a church if God is not in it? Let me say that again. What good is a church if God is not in it? I know it seems like almost kind of an anti-subject to come to a church dedication and talk about why a church dedication is not what it's about. But to be honest with you, that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about how this beautiful building and how God has done some wonderful things that we're going to celebrate in just a few moments is something that we need to give praise and glory to God about, but not because of the building. Can you help the preacher out?
Amen.
Thank you so much. That the goal of the object is not the focus of the building, but the goal of the object of the building is so that God can position this church to reach more people for Christ here in Hartford and the surrounding community. That's why this dedication is so exciting.
That's right.
It's exciting. Yeah, you got some beautiful things here. I mean, boy, I was looking at the screen. I said, man, Pastor Scott's going to be preaching up here now. We need to rejoice, but the reality is, brothers and sisters, we don't want to fall into the tendency of thinking that a building makes a church. When it's not a building that makes a church, it's a church that makes a building. Can
That's
I get
right.
it?
Amen.
Now, I said this is going to be a short message. If you all don't say amen, it's going to be a long message.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Because the reality is, We are dedicating not a physical facility today. We're dedicating a new chapter in Wellspring Community Church. We're dedicating God's provision for you so that you can be God's love to this community. If you open your Bibles, please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. That's in the middle of the Old Testament. It's going to come up here in case you don't have your Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. The title of my message this morning is, What Good is a Church If God Is Not In It? Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness. May you bless our time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand as we read God's word this morning. Normally we stand every Sunday when we read it.
2 Chronicles 6, verses 12 through 42. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire community of Israel, and he lifted his hands in prayer. Now Solomon had made a bronze platform, 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high, and had placed it at the center of the temple's outer courtyard. He stood on the platform, and then he knelt in front of the entire community of Israel and lifted his hands toward heaven. He prayed, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven and earth. You keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. You've kept your promise to your servant David, my father. You made that promise with your own mouth, and with your own hands, you have fulfilled it today. And now, O Lord God of Israel, carry out the additional promise you have made to your servant David, my father. For you said to him, if your descendants guard their behavior and faithfully follow my law as you have done, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. Now, O Lord God of Israel, fulfill this promise to your servant David. But will God really live on earth among people? Why? Even the highest heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Nevertheless, listen to my prayer and my plea, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is making to you. May you watch over this temple day and night, this place where you have said you would put your name. May you always hear the prayers I make toward this place. May you hear the humble and earnest requests from me and your people, Israel, when we pray toward this place. Yes, hear us from heaven where you live, and when you hear, forgive. If someone wrongs another person and is required to take an oath of innocence in front of your altar at this temple, then hear from heaven and judge between your servants, the accuser and the accused. Pay back the guilty as they deserve. Acquit the innocent because of their innocence. If your people Israel are defeated by their enemies because they have sinned against you, and if they turn back and acknowledge your name and pray to you here in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive them. Forgive the sin of your people Israel and return them to this land you gave to them and to their ancestors. If the skies are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and if they pray toward this temple and acknowledge your name and turn from their sins, because you have punished them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them to follow the right path and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as their special possession. If there is famine in the land, or a plague, or crop disease, or attacks of locusts or caterpillars, or if your people's enemies are in the land besieging their towns, whatever disaster or disease there is, and if your people Israel pray about their troubles or sorrow, raising their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and forgive. Give your people what their actions deserve, for you alone know each human heart. Then they will fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land you gave to our ancestors. In the future, foreigners who do not belong to your people, Israel, will hear of you. They will come from distant lands when they hear of your great name and your strong hand and your powerful arm. And when they pray toward, this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and grant what they ask of you. In this way, all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as your own people Israel do. They too will know that this temple I have built honors your name. If your people go out where you send them to fight their enemies, and if they pray to you by turning this city you have chosen and toward this temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers from heaven and uphold their cause. If they sin against you, and who has never sinned, you might become angry with them and let their enemies conquer them and take them captive to a foreign land, far away or near. But in that land of exile, they might turn to you in repentance and pray. We have sinned, done evil, and acted wickedly. If they turn to you with their whole heart and soul in the land of their captivity and pray toward the land you gave to their ancestors, toward this city you have chosen, toward this temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers and their petitions from heaven, where you live, and uphold their cause. Forgive your people who have sinned against you. Oh my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to all of the prayers made to you in this place. And now arise, O Lord God, and enter your resting place along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your loyal servants rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject the king you have anointed. Remember your unfailing love for your servant David. In Jesus' name.
I just mentioned that today is a pretty big day in American society. As a matter of fact, I heard over this past week that somebody might even suggest that Monday be declared a national holiday. Couldn't believe it, because Super Bowl Sunday is such a big event now that there's so many preparations and there's so much going on and there's going to be so much fun, and there'll be some people who take the fun to an extreme, and they might be kind of feeling a little low on Monday, and we need the day off. I mean, it is quite a buildup. It starts 2 weeks ago. Really, it starts before that, but it really starts 2 weeks ago when my man Russell Wilson beat the Green Bay Packers. I was just so rejoicing that a godly man prevailed against the evil team from the north. And then it just seemed like you turn on the television, even on CNN, you hear about Deflategate, and you hear about all of this kind of stuff, and then ESPN, I know none of y'all look at ESPN, but I look at it every once in a while. I mean, ESPN, it's from morning to night, and today I'm sure they started very early, and they're building the momentum, and they're going to have a 3 or 4 hour pregame, whatever, and then everybody, of course, and come on, some of you have to admit it, are waiting for the halftime show with Katy Perry. I didn't really know who she was, and then they played a song. I said, oh, that's the workout song where I work out. Imagine the great buildup that we are experiencing now in this country, how it cannot be compared to the buildup that the people of Israel were feeling in 2 Chronicles.
Yeah. Amen.
See, God had promised to David some 50 years earlier that he would be the one to build the temple. That was a big deal in Israel's life. That was the place where God was going to dwell. In other words, it was God's crib, y'all. Not being irreverent. Sorry, Lord, not being. It was his crib. But then God told David something that was kind of confusing. He said, David, I put this in your heart, but you're not going to be the one that completed it. Your son is. So all those years, David bought the land to build it. He knew that even though he was making preparation, he began to set aside the gold and silver that he wanted to dedicate. All those things, prepare his son. He did all that knowing that he would not be the one to fulfill that dream that God had put in his heart. Well, Solomon came on the scene, and you know Solomon, he was the wealthiest man in the whole world. In other words, he had a whole lot of ching-ching, y'all. You hear what I'm saying? And he began to build the temple. But what's not clear, unless you really understand the background of the text, is that it took him 7 years from start to finish to build God's house. I mean, that would be in our day and time a multi-mansion. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And not only did it take him 7 years to build up God's house, but if we would read the context, we don't have time this morning, starting in chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, he built rooms that were overlaid by gold. Ooh. Now that's some expensive wallpaper, y'all. He built a stand that was made by gold. He had some bronze doors. And I mean, ooh, this is a bad crib, y'all. Mm-hmm. He even brought all of the tribes together in chapter 5 and said, we're going to all show up at this party. He brought the Levites in and said, hey, you're going to sing a song that we sing even today. To God be the glory, his faithfulness forever. Man, this was a party.
Amen.
And then he dropped a downer on them. A prayer that has nothing to do with the temple as a building, but everything to do with how God wants to use Israel as a result of God being in the house. You know, we live in a world, brothers and sisters, where there are a whole lot of churches that have a whole lot of fancy buildings, ain't doing nothing with God. Can I get an amen? Amen. They got a whole lot of shine. They got a whole lot of this. They got a whole lot of that. They get excited about what the property they got and all that. But the Holy Spirit hasn't been there in 10 years. I don't want that for Wellspring. I don't want that. I don't want you all to be so excited about this new building that you forget that if God is not in the house, what good is the church? Mm-hmm. There are two things we see in this text that help us to understand that when God is not in the house, it doesn't matter what kind of church building you have. The first reason why that is so important is found all the way through that first little section, beginning all the way chapter verse 12 down in verse chapter 6, all the way down to verse 32, and then it ends up again in verses 34 to 39. I'm not going to read it again, but let me highlight a couple of key phrases that help you to understand the principle. The first reason why it's important we understand that it's not about the building, but it's about the people who occupy the building, is because God wants you to be a church, just like he wanted Israel to be a church, who understands that a true church is not about acquiring properties, but a true church is one that has learned how to rely upon him.
Amen.
Look at verse 19, it says, verse 18, but will God really live on earth among people? Why even the highest heavens cannot contain you? How much less the temple I built? Listen to my prayer and my request. O Lord my God, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is making to you. Look over in verse 22. If someone wrongs another person, is required to take an oath of innocence in front of the altar at this temple, then hear from heaven and judge between your servants. Look down at verse 25. If your people Israel are defeated by their enemies because they have sinned against you, and they turn to you and call on your name and pray to you. Look down at verse 26.
If skies are shut up and there is no rain because of your people have sinned against you, and then they pray toward this temple and confess your name and turn from their sins because you have punished them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants. Look down in verse 28, and if there's a famine in the land or plagues or crops or attacks of locusts, and if your people offer a prayer concerning their troubles or sorrow, raising their hands toward this temple, on and on and goes. He goes through the text. What is the thing? And he continues to say, people of God, understand where your dependence needs to lie. And be a people that cry out to God.
Yes.
You know what? How I can tell if a church is ready to be used by God in the community? I can tell when a church is being ready to be used by God in the community because the prayer meeting is the most hopping meeting of the church.
All right.
Boy, that was a weak amen. Let me say it again. The prayer meeting is the hottest meeting of the church.
Amen.
It's not five folk who just show up because they feel obligated. Come on now, church.
That's right.
It's not four people who show up plus the pastor and his wife and his children because they feel obligated. Come on now. Hey,
that's right.
The reality is, brothers and sisters, when God is not in the house, you can tell because prayer is not in the house. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen.
We are a dependent people. We are a needy people. God wants us to understand and come to him and say, we will take over this community, not because of our fancy buildings, not because of our fancy plans, not because of our fancy programs. We will take over this community because we are totally and utterly dependent upon our God.
Amen.
And we will demonstrate that by being people who cry out to him. The first reason why, when God is not in the house, forget the church building, is because God is not looking for church buildings. He's looking for people who know how to rely upon him. But there's a second reason in this text why, even though a building is great, it is not the ultimate goal. The people of God being transformed by God is the ultimate goal, so they can bring glory to God. Why? So that the foreigners who are outside the church can be attracted to the God of the church. Look at verse 32. It says this. And when the foreigners hear of you and your mighty miracles, and they come from distant lands to worship your great name and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and grant what they ask of you. Then all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as your own people Israel do. They too will know that this temple I have built bears their name. Now I want you to look at a little phrase in there. It says this. And when the foreigners hear of you and your mighty miracles. Let me ask you a question. What do most non-Christians hear about the church? How they spend their money. What else?
Hypocrisy,
their phone. What else?
Sin.
They hear about how the preacher is preaching, but he ain't living. Come on now. Y'all hear what? Now, see, in the black church, they say, preach, Pastor Perry. That's a good word.
Preach it.
What do non-Christians hear about the church? They hear all kind of things about the church. As a matter of fact, I've even heard people say, it's not that I'm against God, I'm just against the church. God hasn't done nothing to me that I know of, but those church folk, oh, Jesus. God wants Wellspring to not be excited about your building, but to be excited about the reputation that you earn by serving this community for the glory of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's what he wants you to be excited about. That's what he wants you to rejoice about. That's what he wants you to say, amen about. It's wonderful to have a place like this. I'm not putting that down, but I wanted to direct your focus this morning to something that I feel is of more eternal significance. That is not about the building. but it's about what he says in verses 40 through 42 as we close. Oh my God, be attentive to all the prayers made to you in this place. And now, O Lord God, arise and enter this resting place of yours, where your magnificent ark has been placed. May your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. And may your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember your unfailing love for your servant, David. That's my prayer for Wellspring.
Amen.
That God's presence will remember Wellspring in this place. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That God's presence will bless Wellspring because of this place. Can I get an amen? That God's presence will show this community that it's not about Wellspring's programs or buildings or strategies or this fancy PowerPoint. It's fancy. But it's about a people who have learned how to rely upon him.
That's right.
And who have a reputation in the community that's so great.
That's right.
That non-Christians will hear. God bless you.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Elders, if I can have our elders come on up here. And, you know, some of you all think that I get a little carried away up here. Come on over here, guys. Back here. We're going to set you guys up over that way. A scripture that we're focusing on today is out of 2 Peter 2:4-5, and I just wanted to read this together. So if you guys are ready to do that, I have the NIV version. Is that what was up there as well?
No, okay. You tell me ESV.
ESV. All right. Let's read this together. You ready? We're going to go off of this one. Are you ready? As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. You know, that scripture there talks about living stones. And when Paul's writing that, he says that Jesus Christ is the living stone. Matter of fact, through the Bible, we hear that Jesus Christ is not only just the living stone, he's the chief cornerstone as well. And so, whom the whole building, the whole church is being built. So he's talking about the cornerstone, Christ being the cornerstone of us personally and also as corporately as a church. And so back in those days, the chief cornerstone was the most important stone. Everything was built around it. We would call that our foundation in homes and buildings today. So it had to be strong enough to support everything that was built on it. And so the cornerstone was important. It reminds me of that old song, Christ the solid rock I stand on, other ground is what? Yeah, that's right, man. That's it. And so that's what Jesus Christ is to us personally and as a church. And so Peter was telling, he goes on to say in that scripture, he goes on to say that he says, he talks about these living stones, that Christ is taking these living stones and they're being built into this spiritual house. And that's really what's happening here at Wellspring Community Church. God is the one who chooses the stones, and he takes his chisel. I don't know if you all felt that before. God takes his chisel, and he shapes us, and he makes them fit into his house, and then he makes them fit for his house, and then he makes them fit into the house. And so someone wrote this, that before the world began, the greatest of all building committees, the triune God, worked out a plan for building for himself his dream house, a spiritual house made up of living stones. And he determined the who and the how and the where in the construction schedule. Then, beginning with the creation of the universe, he began the process of carrying out his plan to build himself a spiritual house. So God's the architect, he's the general contractor, and he's the builder. And the children of God are the living stones. That God is, matter of fact, that's God's building material. It's not brick and mortar and wood, it's us. It's the people who are children of God. They are the living stones. They're God's building material. And so I believe God knows what he's doing. You're all here, and that God is using you to build this house. He knows what he's doing. And remember, we said To know that you're a child of God is really simple. It's all who receive him, all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. That's huge. Jesus Christ invites you to give yourself to him. And he doesn't want something from you. And that's what a lot of people outside the church think. Oh, the church wants money or they want this or that. No, he wants you. And he wants you to be a part of that, be a living stone in this spiritual house. So that's a life-changing decision. That's a game changer. It was in my life, and it's in anybody's life who makes Christ their Lord and Savior. So you are God's building material if you did make that decision. Now, as Dr. Perry said, Wellspring Community Church did not move into this theater so that people could say, wow, this is a cool building, although it is a cool building. Wellspring Community Church doesn't exist so that people can say, wow, what a great bunch of people. You know what I mean? Wellspring Community Church is in this building, and it exists so that people can look at us and say, like Dr. Perry said, what a great God. You know, what a God. I want that. I want to know the God that they love and that they serve. And so the church that God builds here in Hartford is not perfect, ladies and gentlemen. The living stones aren't perfect. You and I fall short of God's ideals, sometimes even of our own ideals. But the church that God's built I have this picture. It's a group of people who love each other, and they want to do life together, and no matter who they are. And it's a church that's shaped by the teaching of Jesus Christ, and that it's shaped and it practices reconciliation and restoration, and those are high priorities. It's a community where we share prayer and care and meals and money and victories and defeats. That's the kind of church he's looking for. So there is an expectation of God's presence and power in this spiritual house that he's building. So I believe God's not finished building his church. I know that. The word says it. He's not finished with Wellspring. He's not finished with me. But I'm so thankful that God has allowed us to be part of his plan. So our goal is this. I have the elders up here. Today we're going to dedicate this building and ourselves to God and to the mission, Wellspring Community Church's mission, to lead people to life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus. But before we start that, I just want to say this. We are so thankful for Bill and Nancy Schubert. Now, I asked them to come today. They're here. And so, Bill and Nancy, would you stand? Bill and Nancy, yes, let's give them a round of applause. Bill and Nancy are the owners of Schubert Theater. And they've allowed us to come into this theater and to, for the purpose, like Dr. Perry says, to really glorify God and to reach this community. This is our area where we come on Sundays as a large group to really gather and worship and then send each other out into the community to reach this community for Jesus Christ. And so, Bill and Nancy, I just wanted to pray for you right now and ask God to bless you. So would you all pray with me? Lord God, we just thank you for Bill and Nancy. So my prayer for them today is, Lord, that you would show yourself to them in real and practical ways, God. May you bless Bill and Nancy with your love. May your hand be on their family and on this business, God, that they have so kindly allowed us to be a part of. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that your face would shine upon them and be gracious to them. That you'd turn, your face toward Bill and Nancy and give them the peace of God. Lord, the peace of God that the world is looking for. We pray that in the powerful name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you for Bill and Nancy in your name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Bill and Nancy, you may be seated. We thank you guys for everything that you've allowed us to do, and looking forward to continue to work with you in the future. Oh, Bill, did you have something you want to say? I'll just mess with you. Anyway. So I've asked the elders to come up. They're going to each read a scripture and then pray a prayer over our church before we initiate the act of dedication.
Dr. Perry, thank you for your challenge. And may this place, I think that's our overarching prayer, that this place would be a resemblance of that message. So the verse is Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this awesome word here, a word of promise and of instruction. Father, we thank you for this place that you've brought us to, and the goal of this place is to glorify you, Lord. We know that you want to build it, Father, and it requires us to yield to you and to follow you and to hear your voice. Father, that your presence would remain and go before us and be here with us. So, Father, I just think of the prayer that you laid out in your word, that your kingdom would touch down here in this place, that we would begin to experience that kingdom here as we yield to you, your reign and your rule in our lives, Father God, and in this place, as it is happening today in heaven. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Christ is our cornerstone. Are the building blocks. We square ourselves off of him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our cornerstone. Thank you for being the rock that we can build on, that doesn't change, that doesn't swerve, that doesn't crumble, doesn't rock. That you're there, you are always solid, you're always for us. We thank you for that, Jesus. Help us to build ourselves, help us to anchor ourselves on you, Lord, and focus on you in all that we do, and know that you are guiding us, you are leading us, you have saved us, Lord, and that what we do is everlasting, will outlast this building, will outlast any building. If we build on you, it lasts. So we do thank you, we praise you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's two things I wanted to mention. Dr. Perry talked about what this city would see in us. Michelle and I were on vacation in New York one time. We were in Albany. And what we usually do on vacation is we just drive around and we try to find a church on Sunday morning that looks like it might be something we would enjoy and be blessed by. And we found this church, and they were asked by the mayor of Albany, which is the capital of New York State, to feed their people. That church was asked to house the people, feed the people. They knew where to go to get the help they were looking for, had to look for God. They also had a resale shop that employed people from the city that were down on their luck or whatever it was. But when I think of that for a Wellspring, I think of that for any church in any city, to be a real need filler for that city, that the government would come to them instead of being at odds with each other. So that's something I'll never forget. And I've always thought about that for Wellspring. We want that for the schools, for the community, for everything. We want to be the place they go for help. That's my goal here. So with that, I'll be reading out of Colossians, chapter 3. I'll read a few different verses, but it starts out with, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." And then in 17 it says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We need to give thanks to God for all of this, or it will be. Let's do that right now. Lord, you've given us so much. We do have a great screen. We do have a great place to worship, comfortable, beautiful, new, and exciting. Lord, we need to shine that light outside of this room. We need to shine your light and be your hands and feet to this community first, and then go out from there. Lord, we know that you're needed here. You're needed in our hearts, in our lives. You're needed in all the people around us, in our jobs, in our schools. But mostly, Lord, we know that you're needed here. May this place never be without you. We will be lost. We thank you, Lord, for dwelling here with us, for allowing us to dwell with you, and to be a place of refuge and of peace at this time. Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.
If you wouldn't mind standing before Pastor Scott comes and closes us out this morning, we're going to actually go through an actual dedication. I will lead you in that. This is a holy moment, just like with the people of Israel. They had long awaited God's house. And I know that this is a very important moment in the life of Israel. And I'm just so very grateful that God is going to use this church to make his name famous in this community. I will read, and then I believe it's going to come up on the PowerPoint, is that correct? And then you'll see where you're supposed to read, and we'll go right through this as we now dedicate this church building for the purposes that God has intended. We are gathered to dedicate and set apart this building. This shall be a place where the gospel of salvation shall be shared through the ministry of God's word, and where Christian lives shall be developed towards spiritual maturity through Christian fellowship.
Dedication for this building.
To God, everlasting Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, and from whom comes every good and perfect gift, and by whose mercy and grace we are saved.
We do now, with reverence and gratitude, dedicate this house of worship.
To Jesus Christ, our crucified, resurrected, living, and coming again Lord, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and who is the way, the truth, and the life.
We gratefully dedicate this building to his glory.
To the Holy Spirit, source of life and light, comforter of all those born again, and to the one who alone can apply the finished work of Christ to the soul, and give the new life of faith in the Son of God to all who would receive him.
We prayerfully dedicate this building.
O God, you are present in all place in your dominion. To accept the services of all your church, hear us. We humbly pray, and by your Holy Spirit, consecrate this building we now dedicate to you for the worship of your holy name, the ministry of your word, and the administration of your sacraments.
We dedicate this building.
For comfort to those who mourn, for strength to those who are weak, for help to those who are tempted, for guidance to those who have lost their way.
We dedicate this building.
For the sanctity of the family, for the purity and guidance of children and youth, for the renewal of fellowship and the building of Christian character.
We dedicate this building.
As a tribute of gratitude, of faith, and hope and love, an offering of thanksgiving and praise from those who have found salvation and experienced the riches of God's grace.
Gratefully, we dedicate this house of the Lord.
For the privilege to send forth the gospel into all the world, the giving of hope and courage to all who labor in service to the Lord. Altogether,
we dedicate this building,
and now, by committing ourselves afresh, dedicate this building as a church for the worship and praise of Almighty God, in the spirit and name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Perry. Yeah. Amen. 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 So you may be seated. Worship team, if you'll come on up. You know, it's a privilege to have Dr. Perry and Mrs. Perry come today. I know it was a snowy day, it was a challenging day. A lot of people didn't make it out. But I got to tell you, what did make it out was the Spirit of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They were here in this place today, and we dedicated this. We dedicated ourselves afresh and anew to the mission of what God has for Wellspring Community Church. And so I'm very excited about that, and I'm glad that we can that you all were here today to join us. So the mission goes on. What do we do tomorrow? We go out with a mission. That's right, don't we? So here we go. We're gonna show a video of last week's reach.